Good morning, Trinity.
Good morning, Beth.
Good to be with you and help you today.
Wonderful.
And we're also going to sing for you. Welcome to you as well. I'll also say, remain standing as we make the committee this morning. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Brittany Stroschein, and assisting me with this reading is Kelly. I teach middle school history and language arts at Trinity, and what I enjoy most about my ministry at Trinity is spending time with all of the students, just like Kelly. And Kelly is in sixth grade, and she likes animals and enjoying nature from behind a window. All right. The first reading today is recorded in Jonah chapter 3. To understand this reading, it is important to know about the prophet Jonah.
I know about Jonah. He ran away from God instead of going to Nineveh, and a big fish or whale swallowed him for 3 days.
And this reading tells how Jonah and Nineveh changed after this. Then the Lord spoke his word to Jonah a second time. He said,
"Leave at once for the important city Nineveh. Announce to the people this message I have given you."
Jonah immediately went to Nineveh as the Lord told him.
Nineveh was a very large city. It took him 3 days to walk through.
Jonah entered the city and walked for about a day. Then he said,
"In 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed." And the people of Nineveh believed God.
They decided to fast, and everyone, from the most important to the least important, dressed in mourning clothes.
God saw what they had did. He saw that they turned from their wicked ways.
So God reconsidered his threat to destroy them, and he didn't do it. This is the word of the Lord. Our second lesson is recorded in Mark chapter 1, verses 14 through 20. This is Mark's account of how Jesus started his earthly ministry after his baptism. After John the Baptist had been put in prison, Jesus went to Galilee and told people the good news of God. He said,
"The time has come, and God's kingdom is near. Change the way you think and act, and believe the good news."
As Jesus was going along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew. They were throwing a net into the sea because they were fishermen. Jesus said to them,
"Come follow me. I will teach you how to catch people instead of fish."
They immediately left their nets and followed him. As Jesus went on a little farther, he saw James and John, the sons of Zebedee.
They were in a boat preparing their nets to go fishing.
He immediately called them, and they left their father Zebedee and the hired men in the boat and followed Jesus.
This is the word of the Lord.
The gospel lesson will serve as the basis for today's meditation, and I invite you to please remain standing as we join in our sermon hymn. The gospel lesson was just shared with you by our students and teacher, and so we thank you for that, Brittany, and please remain standing.
Thank you.
grace, mercy, and peace be richly and abundantly poured out upon each of you this very special day. You may be seated. Our gospel is the lesson of which our message is based, and I'd like to have you feel free to follow along with me inside of your Bibles, the pew Bibles in front of you, Mark chapter 1, 14 to 20, and if I can have the projection screen go to that as well, the gospel lesson for today. Also inside of your bulletins are the sermon notes, and if you'd like to follow along, help you pass the time, so to speak, and we'd love to have you just take you a second and find that out as well. As we begin this message, I was reminded of a time when my wife and I and her family got in the car and we decided to drive over to Powell, Wyoming. And from Powell to Lovell was 22 miles, I believe. And we got in the car to go get these angel cookies. Have you ever had these bakery goodies called angel cookies? They're really light and fluffy and sugary and, oh, what's that? Yeah, calorie free, right. And as a result, they were very, very good. And only the Powell Bakery made those, of course. And as we drove up into town, we were all getting excited. And then we drove up the street and we got up the street and drove up to the bakery, got out of the car and walked to the front door. And on the window was a sign that said, "Gone fishing." Needless to say, we were a bit disappointed. Now, if you would have been downstairs in the youth room, you would have been able to see the students going fishing for donuts this morning, as they had donuts hung from the ceiling and they had to eat them without using their hands. And I was told that the two teachers figured it out, but had slightly different strategies. Adam said Brittany cheated. So we're glad that you're here this day and that we're all together thinking about going fishing. Because that's what Jesus really did as he's walking by the Sea of Galilee. He found that there were fishermen. And he found that as he invited them that Simon and Andrew would follow him. And then James and John a little bit later, who were also fishermen. And of course, all 12. But Jesus had a very special message. And the message was one that we have to set the stage. First of all, John the Baptist has now been imprisoned. But John was preparing the way for the Lord, as you recall, in earlier studies and messages. And then after that, we also would realize Jesus was baptized by John. And so Jesus was now entering into his public ministry. And Jesus' message was, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe. And so when you and I start to look at what that means, repenting, there's a Greek word called metanoia. I throw that in for no extra charge. There will be a basket in the back if you want to contribute to our Greek fund. But as a result, I'm kidding, please. And when we start to really look at that, I do want to say metanoia means a few different things, but one of the ways we may want to remember that is that we acknowledge, first of all, that we are sinners and that we have fallen short of God's glory. And that's why there is a need for a Savior to be sent and to come. And that's what Jesus was saying was at hand. That the coming of the Savior was now at hand. He was arriving. He is there. And the salvation of the world was at hand. The second of the A's under metanoia are not only that we would acknowledge that we are sinners and fallen short, but also acknowledge that God has sent a Savior and that has a plan for dealing with our sin. And that was that Jesus Christ himself in later years, three short later years, would suffer upon a cross and would die and pay for your sins and mine. And because of our shortcomings, he would have to pay the price for us to be forgiven. The third A is that we would accept or receive the forgiveness found in Christ alone that God was offering to us. With the hand of faith, that we would grasp that and allow it to become our very own. And the final is that through the power of the Holy Spirit work in our life, Jesus was saying the kingdom of heaven was at hand. And that the Holy Spirit would be stirring us away, sending us away from those sins that had tripped us up and caught us and captivated us. Metanoia. Jesus said, repent. Acknowledge. that you're a sinner. Acknowledge that God sent a Savior. Accept with the hand of faith that Christ would pay for your sins and be sent away by the power of the Holy Spirit to walk away from sin. And Christ says, repent and believe. The Greek word for believing is one that really means believing, entrusting, accepting, grasping, clinging to, basing your life upon, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand, taking these things that Jesus was teaching and preaching and saying, those are mine. I believe that. I accept that. What ways do you see the kingdom of God at hand in your life? How do you see God at work? What ways do you see that God is now at work in your world? I hope and pray that you'll take a few moments to think that through. Because as you and I do, we'll start to see that Jesus in the Gospel of Luke and another book of the Bible in the New Testament actually read a scripture prophecy from the book of Isaiah when he said, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. The lame walk, the deaf hear, the blind see, lepers are cleansed, the dead are raised, and the favorable year of Jubilee is upon us. The time where all debts and all sins would be forgiven. Every 50 years in the Old Testament, that was celebrated. And Jesus was saying, at his coming and upon his reading, he was fulfilling all of that. And we here at Trinity are seeing the kingdom of God at hand. Opportunities for God to intervene in our world and in our life. We're seeing his way worked out. I've seen mending of relationships, restoring and repairing, renewing. I've seen healing and helping, giving those who had no hope some hope and forgiveness to those who felt as though they were unforgiven and unforgivable. I've seen it. In my short 2 months here, I've seen prayers that have been answered powerfully at work in our world. I see our current prayer target here at Trinity, which is regarding a ministry building and an opportunity that we have. Of wondering how in the world, as we look at all the things that Trinity has at our disposal, at our properties, someone is offering us money for a building that is on our campus. And we say, what's the Lord's will in all of this? We ask the question, how can we use this facility and this building for your purposes, Lord? How do we see your working it all out together to your glory? How, O Lord? And so we've come together as a congregation and we're praying as the people of God that God would answer that prayer as we pray daily at 12 o'clock noon. I invite you to join us in that prayer. As we come together, we ask God for his guidance and his direction. We seek his will to provide his plan for a vision that we can come together as one people and move forward as one. You might call it the presence of God, but for me, I call it seeing the fingerprints of God as we come up with new answers and new ways to see some of this happen. I was reminded last week when a man came up to me and he said, Pastor, something's happening here. And he had a big smile on his face and he said, I mean, something really good is happening. And he said, do you see it too? And I said, oh, yes, I see it. The Spirit of God stirring in our midst. The hand of God, the kingdom of heaven upon us. Something's different, Pastor. Another member who came to me said, it's so good to see some of our former members returning and to see new faces joining, just as visitors to come and see. We welcome you. We're glad you're here. But God is on the move. God is in the midst of our congregation. And Jesus went fishing. Simon and Andrew, he asked them to be his disciples. The church, too, as job one, is for us to go and to make disciples. As he was going by the Sea of Galilee, we hear Jesus seeing Simon and Andrew casting their nets into the sea. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets. And going on a little farther down the Sea of Galilee, walking that way, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. And he asked them, too, to follow. And they left their father and the boat and the hired servants and went away to follow Jesus. Jesus said, "Follow me. I'll make you fishers of men." What does that mean to you? Is that we would become a people who would be followers of Christ, Christ followers, who would walk with him, learn from him, see what he would have us to do, would be on the job training to become ambassadors of reconciliation, people who would proclaim his name, because we too would be people who saw that the kingdom of heaven was at hand. Now, there are four ways in which Jesus did this calling of his disciples. The first that I recognize is that he identified Simon and Andrew. He identified them. He just saw them. And then he invited them. He said, "Follow me." And then Jesus promises to make them his disciples. And then Jesus did something else as we look at it. We started to see that Jesus sent them later in the Gospels. We see that Jesus would send them. The disciples, they would follow, yes, but Jesus would make them his disciples, and they would sit later. In our congregation, it is my hope and prayer for you as a member at Trinity or a visitor even here today, that you're not just a receiver of Christ's redemption. I don't want you to stop short, because it is my belief and my hope that Christ is also working in your life right now to also make you a first responder to bring the gospel to bear to someone else, to be a vessel and a vehicle for transmitting the gospel unto others. Not only that you would know Jesus, but that others would know Jesus through you. Not just that you would be saved, but that you would also know you are sent to serve your Lord and your Savior. You see, Jesus on this training mission chose his disciples and they followed him. With him, they experienced the miracle of the water into wine at the wedding in Cana. We also saw that Jesus would take them as he fed the 5,000 with just five loaves and two fish. Jesus involved them in this food serving as well as the cleanup processes. The scripture reminds us in that text that everyone ate of their fill, and yet they picked up 12 basketfuls of scraps, more than they started with. Jesus involved his disciples in healing the sick, the demon-possessed, and the lepers. They saw how Jesus told them to permit the little children to come to him, and for to such belong the kingdom of heaven. Jesus sent them out to preach the good news of the kingdom of heaven and to heal the sick and demon-possessed. They returned back in great joy, seeing that they were doing the things that Jesus had done. Jesus had brought them into his ministry. He was making them fishers of men. And his disciples, here in this worship service, he's making you fishers of men as you hear his words of involving you in a relationship, as you worship with him, as you praise his holy name, as you hear this message, as you pray and put your names on those cards. Jesus is at work building a stronger and stronger relationship into your life. As you go to him in word and as you daily open the pages of God's word, what is it speaking to you as a disciple? What are you learning? Most certainly, how much he loves you. How much he's willing to suffer and to die to pay for your sins and mine. How much he was willing to give. That's what we're hearing. And as you start to think about fellowshipping with other Christians and getting to know others in the body of Christ, it gets more and more exciting. As you seek new ways to serve your Savior, using all the resources as a good steward that he has given you for the purposes of serving him. I was heartwarmed when one of our members, my assistant actually, Chanda Gillenwater, reported to me that she came late from work, out the door, got into her car and was driving away when she saw a homeless man trying to corner up into the corner of the Compassion House, try and have a break in the wind, trying to sleep on the cold cement during this darkened night. She was moved with compassion, and not knowing what to do, she wondered. She said, "I left the heat on for my dogs at home. I wonder how he'll make it this night on the cement." As she drove away, she was remembering, that she had a quilt in the back end of her truck, or of her trunk of her car. And she reminded herself that she just had it cleaned, that it was her grandma's quilt, that it was a hand-me-down, something that was a legacy gift, a one-in-a-lifetime, a once-in-the-world thing. Handmade quilt. And she said, "But it's so cold." She went around the block, pulled the quilt out, put it in the compartment of the car, warmed the blanket up, and approached the homeless man. And as he was about to speak, he thought she was going to kick him off the property. But instead, she gave him a quilt of comfort that was warmed. I'm certain that he thought he didn't deserve this. He never thought that in the world this was going to happen. And how cold it's going to be that night. That when somebody out of the love and the compassion and the kindness of their own heart, because of Christ, sees the opportunity to do something to help someone else, you have to say that the love of Christ is being poured out, given out, dispensed, and that she was being used as a fisher of men. He received the blanket, and I'm sure it more than just warmed him. It gave him a very good, heartfelt feeling, knowing that someone would do such a thing for him. I see many of our members going out of their way to love and to hear some other human being. I see in you stories of joy as you share with me, as the disciples shared with Jesus, what they did when they came back, how God had used them to bring a blessing to someone. How you, as a vessel, a vehicle, have been used to serve Jesus. How you played that role in blessing someone else's life. It's contagious, and it's infectious on contact inside of a congregation. And quite frankly, I hope we all come down with it. When I first began here just a couple short months ago, there were four plumb lines I talked about. Number one, that disciple is job one. That's the number one thing we do, is to go and to make disciples in all that we do. The second is that we are to be engaged, as pastor I am, to pastor both the church and the school. And that we are, as a congregation, to connect with our community, to align all of our ministries and resources and personnel of church and school for the purpose of going and making disciples. I look forward to the time in our cottage meetings that are coming up. And I heard just today that we have 5 more scheduled. So if you're interested in those, speak with me right after service, or Kathy Aber if you catch her, or Ted Lang. I long to start also small group ministries where we will, as disciples, gather to study the Word of God and come together then also to live out our lives together, life on life, and enjoy fellowship with one another, and then also to go out into our community and make a difference, to impact our neighborhoods, and to leave the cocoon of Trinity's campus, and to see that we too are making fishers of men, that we are inviting others to follow Jesus, and that he will do the making of the discipling, and that we will simply be involved in following him along with them. That we too can be fishers of men. What's the future wait for Trinity? What is the ministry that will impact this community? What is it that you and I will put our shoulders to and accomplish for the good of the kingdom? Is it a music school for the less privileged? Is it a community sports league to use our campus and our gymnasium and our soccer fields? Is it getting involved with young people in our church and school and our community? We've got a group of volunteers that are eager to serve and bringing young people onto our campus or us going out there to serve and to reach out. It's exciting as that began today. Is it a tutoring program to help the underprivileged children, such as through Rebecca's Garden of Hope? Is it being a mentor to young moms who are unwed, such as at Redeeming Life Center that some of us are involved in? Is it some other ministry to our neighbors? Jesus simply saw people. He invited them to follow him. And then he promised to make them his disciples. And then he sends us all out. I ask you, are you a fisher of men? I hope as I would look at your life, I'll be able to say, as I look at the sign, it'll say, gone fishing. Gone fishing to go serve Jesus. Gone fishing to go and to make disciples by inviting others to follow Jesus. Gone fishing as he makes disciples of your friends and family. And as together we are sent out to serve him. Yes, repent and believe, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In Jesus' holy name. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the true faith in Christ. Amen. Stand. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Lord and Savior Jesus, we indeed give you thanks for coming to bring into your kingdom our world and to welcome us as children of the light, children who are received through the waters of holy baptism, who are welcomed through your holy word, for you, O Lord, have the eternal words of eternal life. We, as your children, are welcomed through this meal that we will soon serve and be celebrating. We, O Lord, thank you for all these gifts, where we are ushered into your presence and your kingdom is at hand. Help us, O Lord, to always see the work that you are doing to redeem us, to forgive us, and to receive us as your dear children. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we ask for your guidance and direction for our congregation. Be with our school as they celebrate this week, National Lutheran School Week. And may you, O Lord, bless those who are students there at Trinity. And may you bless their teachers and their principal. May you allow them joy in their service and in their learning. May you bless them in their home life as they too celebrate your working there. May you also, Lord, be with our congregation here at Trinity, especially at this time as we seek your will, guidance, and direction, your vision, your mission for this church. May we be of one heart and mind. May we see your will, and may we walk together as one church. Lord, in your mercy. And now, O Lord, we hear the prayers of those spoken for our on behalf of our congregation.
Lord, the congregation lifts up the following prayers to you. We pray for Imogene for positive test results this week. We pray for Hillary for prayers from healing, for being in the ICU for 9 days. We also pray for Pastor Carl Stevens, who had a successful kidney transplant. We pray for Jonas, a 12-year-old who is in ICU and newly diagnosed with diabetes, prayers that he can return to school and lead a normal, healthy life. We give birth for the great-grandson, Alexander J. We give prayers for peace for the family of Vic Piper as he grieved his passing yesterday. We pay for Harry and Lois Raymond for a health improvement. We also pray for Alan, his family as they grieve for them. We pray for Mike for successful surgery for cancer. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. And now, O Lord, we pray that prayer which you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had broken it and he had given thanks, he gave it unto his disciples, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given unto death for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, in the same manner, he took the cup, and after he blessed it and had given thanks, he gave it unto his disciples, saying, "Take and drink ye all of it, for this cup is in the New Testament in my blood, which is given and is shed for you for the remission of all your sins. As oft as you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. In this cup which we bless, is it not the participation in the blood of Christ? In this bread which we break, is it not the participation in the body of Christ? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Come, for all is now ready. Take and eat the true body of Christ, given and given. Thank you. the Lord, for he is good.
His mercy endureth forever.
O God, the Father, fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you that not for your sake, but for your children's sake, to always rule in our hearts and minds, and by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and bring you his peace. You may be seated.
I have some announcements here. Okay, next Saturday, join the ministry team for Servant Saturday. We will be doing all sorts of things to clean up and get our campus looking pretty good. On next Sunday, the 28th, they will have a meeting in the fellowship hall after 11 o'clock service for those interested in volunteering for VBS this coming summer. So this is getting started planning early on this. We have one more on here, but I have another one to read after this. I'm not sure it made the slides or not. Campus Development Task Force has scheduled town hall meetings to continue discussions and information sharing about what we may do at the Magnolia Building over there. Mark your calendars for February the 5th and March the 5th at 6:30 in the sanctuary. And there's one I think that I've asked about that I don't know if it's on the slide. I don't know if you all can help me. I believe the youth are having a car wash coming up. Is it next weekend? Next Sunday after the 11 o'clock service, right? Oh, during the services. Oh, even better. Well, not for them. Hopefully they'll get a chance to come in here and worship too, but that's good next Sunday. So don't forget that. Make sure you don't wash your car this week. Leave them dirty and bring them back here next Sunday. And I don't think there's any more that I'm aware of on here, is there? Nope. Then I guess it's pastor's turn.
If you have a question, Brittany and Adam, can you tell us a little bit about next? Is there also a pancake breakfast next weekend or a couple weekends from now? February 11th. So not only can you get your cars washed, your souls fed, but your spiritual and your physical appetite wetted. So just make sure and just be ready for all these things. And that's the 11th, not this coming Sunday. So I just wanted to make sure you were preparing for that as well. I'd like to also say thank you to our choir, and you did a wonderful job. And Julia, we thank you, as well as the choir team. This was a big Sunday because one of the things we kept hearing from all of our cottage meetings that we've had thus far, three of them, was children's and youth ministry. And I want to let you know that today we heard from our children's choir, we saw the National Lutheran School Week, and we also started to see something else that began. There was a group of people that got together this past week, and what we did was we started to plan a youth ministry program. We had kicked this off this week, and this Sunday, today at 9:30, was our first youth Bible study, Donuts and Devo. And so if you're one of those youth at that age, we'd certainly love to make sure you're there. And if you'd like to bring a friend, you can do that as well. So God's richest blessings and thanks for those that made this happen. Have a blessed week as we join together in our final hymn. Depart in peace and go and serve the Lord with joy.